Hey, and welcome back to the podcast. At the start of the year, I took my church through the letter to the Galatians. Now, this letter is short, but it's full to the brim with content, so enjoy as we grapple with how big Jesus is and how he changes everything.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for parts of your word that are complicated. But Father, we pray that this evening you'd help us to understand what you're saying through it. We pray you'd help me to explain things well. Help us to remember and to hear things that are right. Help us to forget anything that's not helpful. But Father, would we be glorifying Christ in all that we say and do this evening? Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's our passage for this evening, Galatians chapter 2. And we're rejoining the letter to the Galatians again, as Paul has been showing, if you remember, that his gospel is the gospel. And he's been doing it by showing that he hasn't been taught it by men, but he's received it from Jesus Christ. And this evening, he's continuing his argument. But as you might have seen at the end of this passage, we get a section explaining why changing the gospel is bad news. There's a lot of stuff in this chapter, so we're not going to be able to touch on everything. So I encourage you to spend some time this week having a look at what Paul is saying here, particularly verses 16 to 21. They're very important, and it'll be important to trace through his argument. But we're going to use the time we have now to follow through the main themes. So let's have a look. Paul is continuing his proof that his gospel is the right one. It's there in verse 1. Remember, he's been explaining the different periods of his life since he's been converted. So we see in verse 1 that after 14 years, he's returned to Jerusalem and he's taken some friends along for the ride. He's not gone because he's been summoned by the Jerusalem apostles, and he's not gone in a public way, but to meet those who are, in verse 2, esteemed as leaders. He refers to those leaders again in verse 6 and again in verse 9. And Paul's point seems to be that it doesn't matter what people think of a person, it doesn't matter how great they look, it's whether they hold to the gospel that counts. That's what he's been talking about the whole time so far. And he says in verse 2 that he wanted to be sure that he wasn't running in vain. Now, that doesn't mean he's worried that his gospel might be wrong. Instead, he's worried whether the Jerusalem church are going to accept that Gentiles have been included. You see, this was a big change for the church, bringing in the outside nations. And if the Jewish church disagreed, well, Paul's efforts are going to be hindered, aren't they? So this is a practical issue. It's not a theological issue for Paul. And we're told, verse 6, that those men held in high esteem, what did they do? Well, it's actually, what didn't they do? They didn't add anything to Paul's message. And those men who were esteemed as pillars in verse 9 are actually James, Cephas, or Peter, and John. They had no issues with Paul's message. On the contrary, they recognised that Paul had the task of preaching, just like Peter. So with a handshake, Paul heads off. What's his point there? Well, the Jerusalem council or the Jerusalem apostles endorsed his message, that his gospel's in accord with the church in Jerusalem. Then we get to verse 11. It's quite a strange little section there. If you look back at church history, some people say, well, that's not Peter we're talking about, or they made this up just to prove a point. But I think we need to keep in line with what Paul's been saying so far. What's the point of this whole section? Well, in verse 12, Peter used to sit and he used to eat with the Gentiles. And then it says some men from James came along and he suddenly stopped. The other Jewish Christians in Antioch, they copied Peter. And even Paul's close friend Barnabas did the same. And we get Paul's assessment of it there in verse 13. Hypocrisy. Something that doesn't match up with what these people are claiming. So what is going on? Well, briefly, by drawing back and separating himself from the Gentiles, Peter is setting himself apart from them. And in doing so, he's suggesting to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish Christians, that actually they're not good enough on their own. That there are ranks within the people of God. That to be a first-rate believer means becoming Jewish first. It's kind of like at school. You see the table with the cool kids on, and you want to do what they're doing. So you take up sport, you start collecting Pokemon cards, you play Fortnite, something like that. You do things to try and fit in with the group. That's what the impression is being given by the actions of Peter and his friends. So what does Paul do? Paul says in verse 11, he opposes him to his face because what he's doing is not in line with the gospel. Remember, the gospel. So do you see how that all fits in? Keeping this story in line with the rest of what Paul has been saying, we can know that Paul's gospel is the real deal because the gospel is even above Peter. This is a gospel for all times and all places. There you go, that's the story. That's the authority point that Paul is making. But in this passage, he's starting to make another point. This is the point he's going to then carry on making as we go forward. So come back with me to verse 3. In the middle of our story about the Jerusalem apostles, Paul sticks in a section there about his friend Titus being compelled to be circumcised. That in verse 4, some false believers have snuck into the church and were trying to spy on the freedom that they had in Christ because they wanted to make them slaves. Sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it, to the Galatian church. But in verse 5, Paul resists them. Why does he resist them? For the truth of the gospel. And then in the story of Peter's kosher eating habits, we find Paul's question to Peter right at the end of verse 14. How is it then that you force, or you could say compel, same word, like verse 3, Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? Again, the Galatians, in their head, this bell should be ringing. Peter was not acting in verse 14 in line with the truth of the gospel. There's the phrase again. And Paul is highlighting these two similar situations. One where circumcision is being forced on a believer, and one where believers are being forced to follow Jewish customs. Two situations that could compromise the truth of the gospel to make a point. So what's the point that Paul is making? Well, that's what we're going to turn to. That's what we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at in verse 15 onwards. Paul says, verse 15, "We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." Now it's important to get two terms here, because otherwise that makes no sense. The first is justification. That's a legal term, meaning right with God. Is that justification? There you go. That's a legal term meaning right, being made right with God. A way some people remember that is to say, if I'm justified, it's just as if I'd never sinned. The second is works of the law. And that's a way of saying all that the Old Testament law commanded. Shorthand for that. And Paul's going to mention both of those terms and prove that that's what they mean and explain them more fully as we go in through the book of Galatians. But did you see the point that Paul's making there? He makes it twice in verse 16. He says, we are not justified, not made right with God by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. We may be justified, may be made right with God by faith in Christ, not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Hopefully it's highlighted behind me. But do you get his point? Faith in Jesus? Yes, that's the way. Works of the law? No. And in seeking justification through Jesus, not through the law, the Jewish Christians find themselves on a level playing field with the non-Jewish Christians. Or if you have a look at verse 17, the way Paul says it is they find themselves among the sinners. Before God, everyone is found to be a sinner. But the question might be raised, if it's not by works, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? That seems to be the question raised by men who caused the Jewish Christians to sit elsewhere or to try and circumcise Titus. Well, absolutely not, says Paul. In fact, it's the complete opposite. Do you see that? Paul says that if anyone returns to the law now that Christ has come, it's going to be fruitless. In fact, to return to the law would be to do violence to the will of God and would actually make that person a lawbreaker. Do you see how that works? For Peter to say by his actions that Gentiles must observe the Old Testament law to belong to the people of God is contrary to God's will. Bringing back the law goes against God's will because it denies that righteousness is found in Christ. It returns us to the old era of salvation history. Therefore, to reach back to the law for righteousness is sin, because it denies that righteousness is in Christ alone. We see that again in verse 21. Paul makes the same point. Paul shows us that he doesn't set aside grace, the grace of God. So if you flip that around, by going back to the law, well, you are setting aside the grace of God. Do you remember I had a picture of a vat of water on the screen a few weeks back? Grace cannot have anything added to it without it stopping being grace. And then Paul says in verse 19, he's saying that about himself, he's saying that about all believers. I died to the law so that I might live for God. He continues, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's the topic of the song we learned this morning, yet not I, but Christ. Paul is talking here about being united to Christ. Where Christ goes, what Christ does is the same for those who are in him. One person I know explains it well with the pips of an apple. Wherever the apple goes, the pips go too. If you take an apple up a mountain, well, the pips are at the top of the mountain too. Christ dies, his people die too. Christ is crucified, so are those who are in him. And because Christ lived and then died under the law, he could free those who live under it. We're going to see more of that in future weeks. So what's the issue with people being compelling believers to be circumcised? What's the problem with Peter eating with only Jewish Christians? What's the issue with the Galatian church that Paul's writing to, going back to the law to be made right with God? Well, it's summed up in verse 16. And these are very important words, so I think it'd be useful to read it together. I've added the word we there to make sense of the sentence. So we'll say we and then verse 16. So we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. That's a very important verse to get your head around. You see, anything we do cannot be the foundation of a saving relationship with God. The gospel is that we are declared righteous, right with God, justified through faith in Jesus Christ alone. We need to know that ourselves, and we need to be careful that as a church we don't suggest otherwise to people. There's nothing we contribute. There's nothing at all. As that song we sang said, nor the labour of my hands can fulfil the law's demands. We have to acknowledge that we are naked, we're miserable, we're poor, we're weak. We live by faith alone, casting ourselves entirely on the grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ is our righteousness. His cross is our only hope in the day of judgment. And we need to stop looking to ourselves, but to look away from ourselves and what we've accomplished, and to cling to Christ alone for salvation. If we could be righteous before God based on our works, Paul says here, Christ died for nothing. That's Paul's point. And that's the point that Paul's going to develop as we go further through Galatians in the next few weeks.
Well, there's some things to chew on. Why not let me know what you think by sending an email? The details are in the show notes. Until next time, get on with praising God this week.